So I don't know how many of you have been paying attention to the lectionary readings every Sunday over the past couple of weeks, but you might have noticed that in our Gospels we are reading a lot about bread. A few weeks ago we had the feeding of the multitudes with some fish and some bread. Last week Jesus talked about manna from heaven and living bread, and this week Jesus is the bread of life. Following this pattern, you might guess that next week is about... Very good. Now, this probably doesn't bother you as much as it bothers me. First of all, my tummy can't really handle the wheat very well, so of course thinking about bread all the time just makes me want more bread, and I can't really do that, so that bothers me. But the other thing that really bothers me is that as a preacher, it's really hard to think creatively when you have the same text happening every week. So... by the time I sat down to write this sermon today, I was ready to tell the creators of the lectionary to go make a sandwich or do like French toast or croutons or something. I'm just done with this bread. That is, of course, until I remembered this story. A few years back when I was at seminary, I was sitting around the fire pit with some of my friends at Virginia Theological, talking about what seminarians normally talk about on their evening times: football, the Miss America pageant, and the building of the Hubble telescope. Just kidding, we were talking about church. It's what we church nerds like to talk about. We were talking about church. Namely, we were talking about how, as future priests, we interpreted church and God as children. We were thinking about the ways that we saw God through our kid eyes. And I talked about the day that a squirrel had gotten into my church when I was a little kid, and I ran after it down the aisle, and it ran up my dress and over my shoulder and out the church the other way. I also mentioned how I thought the hymn, "Lead On, O King Eternal," was "Lead On, O Kinky Turtles." I love the literal brain of children. I love it. It's so neat. Another friend of mine, Jenny, who is now an Episcopal priest in Delaware, tells this story about actually the passage that we see in John today. "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day." Well, when her kid brain heard that when she was a child, she envisioned herself sitting in a nice chair across from God, God looking back at her from behind an easel with pen in hand, tending to every freckle, every line, every hair of a portrait that he was actually drawing of her, drawn by God. Once Jenny heard that passage, she would often arrive at church as a little girl wondering if this would be the day that God would draw me. Of course, Jenny grew up, and the more she grew up, the more her mindset about God as a sketch artist changed. But even today, the story sticks with her. And even today, I think there's truth in that. I wonder if we can stop and think about the many different ways that God draws us, because we are created by this very clever, very artistic God. Now, we ourselves might not be drawings on paper, but we sure are unique. Each and every one of us is uniquely drawn out, uniquely created in the image of God. And because we are created by this relational being, we are indeed not only drawn like a creation or a blueprint, but drawn, pulled out, connected in together, drawn to God, and drawn from God. Jesus was not just the son of Joseph. He was not just some miracle worker who roamed the earth for a few years, but he had a connection to God and was, in fact, God. God made flesh. And that he was human and also God connects us in our humanity and connects us with God together as a people of God. But it also draws us in to a life, or to a divine life, draws us in together as a body of Christ. So that brought me full circle around to this bread again. Because Jesus drew people in to this divine life by the fact that he made so much bread out of so little. He drew people in by the fact that he made so much out of so little. Remember, a couple weeks ago, he fed that hungry crowd a late evening supper of fish and bread. And in today's reading, Jesus is still speaking to that same crowd. Why? Because they followed him. Why? Because he fed them. In a miraculous way, he fed them. They were spiritually changed by the ways that he fed them. They were not just physically fed, but they were spiritually fed as well. They were spiritually charged. In fact, they got into boats to follow Jesus across the lake to Capernaum. They were seeking him out, wanting to know what this was all about. They wanted to know what just happened in our community. What kind of miracle was that? This crowd that we read about today in John's gospel is hungry. It's starving, but it's not hungry for physical food. It's hungry for more. More of whatever that was that just happened to me. More of whatever that feeling was. More of whatever that experience was. More of that close encounter with God. Because it's changing me and it's making me feel different. And so when the crowd arrives, Jesus gives them a challenge. He shows them and he tells them who he really is as the living bread. And he tells them they have an opportunity for eternal life, for a different life, for a divine life. A life as changed people, transformed by the amazing works of God. Transformed by the amazing works of God. He could live forever. And while this may seem like a very appealing thing, to simply eat of this bread and live forever, to simply believe and have eternal life, our scriptures remind us today that it's not that easy. That living the divine life is not an easy way out at all. In fact, we are pretty much guaranteed to have life thrown in our faces, whether we like it or not, whether we follow God or not, whether we live into God's dream or not. Look at David. David was a chosen man of God. He was chosen to be the first king of Israel, or he was chosen to be the king of Israel. He had a heart that beat for God. He slipped up majorly a few times, but he led Israel to be this one cohesive kingdom under God. That's some powerful stuff. God chose David, and yet David, this king, this follower of God, was also the father of a son who raped his daughter. And also the father of a son who killed his rapist brother. And Absalom, after killing his brother, fled away. So he was the father of a runaway. And then Absalom decided that he wanted to be king himself. So he built up a rebel army to go against David. David, the follower of God. David, who in the face of his son's betrayal, only asked that Absalom be returned safe. David, who in our passage today cries, "Absalom, oh my son Absalom," after he is dead. David, the king, the chosen one of God, was not exempt from the trials of life that shake us to our core and bring us to our knees. Even the psalmist we read today is crying from the depths of despair. The psalmist knows that God is near, but in the fourth verse admits for waiting for the Lord, which insinuates that he has not yet beheld the redemption of the Lord. We know that there is eternal life. We know that there is redemption. Sometimes our eyes just haven't beheld it. We are not exempt from life. This eternal life is not eternal ease. And eternal life is not eternally easy. Because the people who were changed by the miracles of the feeding of the crowds in John were also charged with tasks to do God's work, despite the uneasiness of life. Their change meant that they were charged. And friends, we are too. We are charged to live this divine life. We are characters in the story of God. Our ancestors were the ones who were fed by manna in the wilderness. Our ancestors were the ones who were called to live and build that godly kingdom. our ancestors, our people, were the ones who were changed by the breaking of the bread in that field and the giving of the fish. Our ancestors, our people, were the ones who were called in Ephesians to live as Christ lived and to love as Christ loved. And we are the ones still who gather at this table today to break the bread, to drink the cup, to participate in the continuing story of God, the continuing building of God's kingdom. We today are the crowd that is being drawn in many different ways. We today are the crowd that is being fed in many different ways. We are the ones called to live into this life eternal. And as we are moved by God, as we begin to encounter the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, and experience that change within ourselves, let us ponder this week the different ways that we are drawn. Drawn artistically by God, a perfect image of God's self. Drawn by God into a life of love and worship, modeled by a Christ who gave everything that we might be able to eat living bread. Drawn by God outside of our comfort zones. Drawn by God into a community that doesn't just meet on Sundays to go through the ropes, but in a community, this community of St. Paul's, that because of our own transformation is now trying to transform the world around us as well. We are drawn together in this community of faith to do God's work. We are called together in this community of faith to transform the world around us, to introduce people to the transformation that takes place here at this table. And just like Moses, just like the Israelites, just like King David, just like the unnamed people in the crowds, we cannot have a close encounter with God and leave unchanged. We cannot have a close encounter with God and leave unchanged. We cannot be fed by a God who feeds and not ourselves want to feed the hungry. We cannot hear about and behold the miracles of God and not ourselves want to teach the stories. We cannot be given grace abundantly. We cannot receive that grace from a God who freely gives and doesn't expect anything in return, and not want to give everything we can possibly give. Everything from ourselves. We cannot have a close encounter with God and leave unchanged. So I invite you to pray with me as we prepare for this feast here at this altar today, this feast of remembrance, this breaking of bread in which we celebrate our eternal life, our living bread. I invite you to pray with me. Please open your books of common prayer to the top of page 372. This is a part of a Eucharistic prayer that we pray. And I invite you to speak the final response after I pray this paragraph. Lord God of our fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world around us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this holy communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Amen.